welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Season 5, Episode 7, Episode number 187. How is it going?
Good.
Ooh, lovely.
Lovely is good. Did you guys have a good week off? We had our blooper show that came out last week. I hope everybody that listened to that enjoyed it.
The bloopers were awesome.
Oh, thank you.
They were quite enjoyable.
Good. I'm glad. I hope that they are as enjoyable as they were meant to be. I don't know. That was an awkward response. Thank you.
They're great. It was nice to have a week off. I feel like I actually got quite a lot of things done. Or not done. Not like in like things that you need to get done, like check off your list. But I just feel like I did a lot of things.
Nice.
Read a couple of books. I watched some things that I was meaning to watch. I watched the documentary Disclosure, which is really good. And I would recommend if you haven't seen it. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yes. What is it about?
It's about trans representation in media. I mean, it's about like, yeah, I would say that's what it's about.
Right.
So,
right. Laverne Cox, right? From Orange is the New Black. It's like her thing.
Yeah, she was like a producer or something on it. Zeke Smith is also in it. From Survivor, for any of the Survivor fans. And a bunch of other actors and actresses. And I don't usually know many actors or actresses, so I couldn't really cite a lot of people. Also haven't seen a ton of movies, so a lot of things that they reference I didn't necessarily know, but I'm here to tell you it's okay if you don't. It's still very enjoyable. It was super interesting. So if you're really into like movies and TV shows and stuff, I would highly recommend it. And then even if you're not as much, you definitely don't need to be like a film buff to enjoy it. But they kind of go through the history and talk about like different issues with representation and different, you know, like highlights of like actors and actresses throughout time. And just how, like, tropes that were sort of developed during that time, you know, for better or usually for worse.
Yeah.
They give all these examples and, like, show clips and stuff and then interview a bunch of people. It's really good. So it's super interesting, and I would definitely recommend it. And then I've also been watching Dead to Me, which I don't know if we've talked about on here. I can't remember if Matt has suggested that.
I don't know.
It's a TV show, and it's like a dark comedy, emphasis
right.
on the dark.
I've heard of it. We've never talked about it, though, I don't
think. Is that the one with Christina Applegate? Blonde?
Yes, that's the one with Christina Applegate.
Okay. Googling Christina Applegate. Frank and I, like, flew through the first season, and we're, like, halfway through the second season. I think there are two seasons total, which is good, because I have definitely had a dream in the past like week that I killed someone. So that was stressful. That like inadvertently, but still, that's definitely from watching the show, but it's been good.
Nice.
Good. Nice. That's awesome. I've also been watching TV this week. We watched the first season, and we're midway through the second half of the season as of recording this, of, Umbrella Academy on Netflix. It's like right up my alley. It's really fun. It's got, you know, it's got ridiculous action scenes. It's like just super fun. It's got plots that you're like super frustrated with, but like also like you're there for. I don't know. So in case you don't know, it's based on a graphic novel or comic book. I'm sure Matt explains. I'm hoping that I'm going to explain this correctly so he doesn't have to. Written by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance and illustrated by Gabriel Ba. It's super fun. It's about a group of special children, a la X-Men. They all have powers, and they were adopted by, you know, this crazy old man who's a billionaire and we don't know much about, but we're kind of learning more about him in season 2, his backstory. And, you know, they've got to save the world. They're a crime-fighting family. They're super dysfunctional. Every character is, you know, got their own quirks. I will just say for anybody out there, guys, Luther is the fucking worst, and he remains the fucking worst. I'm sorry. I can't. I just, every time he's on screen, I'm like, oh, my God. And Luther, Shandy will remember, is the brother of Sam in Samwell Tarly in Game of Thrones. You know, he gets, like, dragonized in one of the big battles. You know, the dorky guy who marries the... Like, he goes to go be the writer.
Sorry, and, you know, his brother, it's been a hot minute.
I know, it's been a hot minute. And, you know, his brother, like, his favorite brother is, like, you know, gets, like, dragonized. Yeah.
Dude, when you said Game of Thrones, my brain was thinking and seeing Lord of the Rings.
I knew you were going to say Lord of the Rings.
That's what I was, too. And when you said Samwell Tarly,
the Hobbits, right?
I was like, yes!
No, that's Samwise Gamgee. No, that's Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind went.
Wow, okay, yeah. No, I watched the first season of The Umbrella Academy when it first came out.
And I remember that,
like, everyone on the internet just, like, hated it so much. And I was kind of like, I don't really get this. Like, why people hated it so much.
Oh, did you like it?
Like you said, it's not perfect, but also, I don't know.
It's, like, super fun. And when you keep in mind, it's, like, a comic book adaptation.
Yeah.
Like, the reaction
online seemed just completely disproportionate to how much anyone should feel about a TV show.
I know, especially with a comic book series that's not even, like, that old. So it's not, like, old and beloved and, like, they fucked it up. Like, they could fuck up a Lord of the Rings or a Game of Thrones.
Right. People love to hate, you know?
This, I feel like, Amanda, people love to, like, down. That's true. Amanda, you would love the soundtrack. The soundtrack is super fun. Like, they have a fight scene every episode, and they pick a really super fun song per fight scene. Oh, and Mary J. Blige is in the first season. And that's fun.
There's a lot to be said. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
maybe
awesome.
I need to go back and give this a try. I watched the first episode, and then it was just, I don't know, just where I was in life. I just never got back to it.
Yeah.
But maybe I need to return.
So
Ellen Page is in it.
Ellen Page is in it, and she's awesome. She's awesome. So, Shandy, would you agree with me that Luther is the fucking worst?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's been a long time, but
Luther's the big
one. If I remember correctly,
number one, yeah. Who doesn't listen to Allison?
He's not great.
Yeah. Anyway, oh my god, I did not realize that you watched it. Like, I missed this. Like, apparently everyone has seen it except for me, and I never heard of it before, like, this weekend. And I was like, I want to watch this, and I watched the whole first season in 2.5 days, including with my children around at, like, lunchtime on the weekend. And I was like, yeah, maybe not great parenting, but whatever.
it's all good. Yeah. No, I did. I watched it whenever it came out, whenever that was.
It was last February it came out.
Okay. I have to wonder if maybe I didn't even mention it because everyone seemed to hate it. Maybe I was, like, shamed into silence. I don't know. And it's not even that I, like, particularly adored it. I liked it. It was fun to watch.
That is so funny.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else was out around that time. It might have just been one of those things that just kind of, like, got lost in the ether.
Yeah, that's true. All I know is, yeah, I totally recommend it if you like, you know, fun, dysfunctional family dramas. You know, we're midway through the second season, and there are certain points where I'm like, all right, come on, guys, let's pick up the pace here. But I am still enjoying it because I enjoy the characters, with the exception of Luther, who is the worst. So. yeah, so that's been, you know, pretty much last week. I just did the bloopers, set up the office, my female made bookshelf / it's kind of very big for a bookshelf. So now I'm like, yeah, it's like more like a console table, but it's here. I rearranged everything. I went through my closet. I got rid of a lot of old crates and stuff.
Nice.
That were in there. You know, put them in big Tupperware, so that felt good. They're like more protected and sealed. You know, just, you know, focused a lot in this room, and the bloopers, you know, which took me a couple of days to put together. And yeah, that was it for me.
Nice.
Shandy, I'm sorry. I kind of hijacked the thread from you, as I tend to sometimes do when you were talking about what TV you watched. Did you do anything else over the week off?
Well, I will say that tragedy struck today. That's...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that is the other thing. Speaking of dead to me, I didn't kill anyone, but Gabby did.
Oh,
Gabby. Gabby killed a bird today.
Oh, no. Is this something she's done before?
No, not that I know of, which is good. And back in the day when Fiona was a spring chicken, she used to bring us occasional mice and one time a bird, and it was terrible because it was not dead, but it was half dead. And then it was just
That's the worst.
I know. I had to finish it off. It was really, really terrible.
Oh, that is... I had to kill, like, a water bug that was in my floor yesterday, and I was, like, crying having to kill, like, this, like, roach-looking thing. So I get... A bird must be, like, all the way worse.
Bird was horrible. And, yeah, Gabby killed the bird today. And, I mean, I can't blame her. It's, you know, her instincts. But thankfully she hasn't done it before, because then I would have to, like, really rethink this whole, like, cats kill a bunch of, you know, a lot of birds, and it's not good, and it's, you know, all these things. But it's the first time. And I'm hoping that it's the last time, and that she hasn't, like, got a taste for it now. And, yeah. I didn't think she was fast enough. And I mean, she's kind of a little chunk. So I thought we had that going for us. But
yeah.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. And she was like, after it was done, and she was like playing with its little corpse. And
Don't take this the wrong way. But if I was going to put money on one of your cats doing that, I would put it on Gabby.
I know. She is a ferocious young thing. Fiona, though, back in her day, like back in Montana, when she was outside all the time, she would go on adventures sometimes, like I don't think she'd actually go far from where we lived, but like we, you know, we wouldn't be able to see her. We didn't have eyes on her. And she would occasionally bring us back little presents, and sometimes they were dead and sometimes they were alive. That was not fun.
Have I ever not told you guys the story of my boss and the squirrels in her attic?
No.
Okay. So a couple of years ago in the middle of the night, there was like a commotion, and one of her, you know, with one of her kittens, and she turns on the light. It's like 2 a.m. because it wakes them up, and they're like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And it is a flying squirrel that her kitten had killed in the attic and dragged down somehow.
A flying squirrel.
Yeah, so they had this issue with flying squirrels, and like it was also kind of a thing because they were, I don't know, I don't remember the full story, but they had to like hire professional people to come in and like trap these squirrels, because there was they live like in the woods kind of like I do, and there was like a hole in their attic window somehow that they didn't know about because they never went up there, like in the so siding.
They came on in.
So they were like hopping from the trees, going into the attic, and then they would like make all this noise, and like she would be like, "What the hell is going on?" And then like, anyway, so they found the flying squirrel, the cat got it, and she was like, "Oh my God, oh my God." And she had to like, you know, take care of this squirrel caucus in like the middle of the night. That might have been like during the day. Like, it might have been daytime. So she spent the next few nights. Yeah, it must have been daytime, because she spent the next few nights terrified. Like anytime there was a noise, that it was like the cat. And then one night she was like, I think the cat has something. I think the cat has something. And they turned on the light, and yep, there was a squirrel caucus right at the foot of the bedroom.
Oh, gross.
Oh my God, I'm just
dead.
The cat was just trying to take care of business the cheaper way for them, to be fair.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Suppose.
And
I was doing a service.
I'm glad that it wasn't bats, because that's what bats do too.
Yeah.
They'll like get in there and
then
may or may not have rabies.
Exactly. Or Lord knows what other sort of viruses. And
at least they kill the mosquitoes.
That's true. That's true. Bats are, they serve.
But bats are great. I just don't want to, you know, share too much space.
I have a sad turtle update.
Oh no! Tragedy?
No. None of them have died, but we only have three left, and we're including Lisa has gone. The twins, the Donnies are the only ones left, and then this one that Jay bought liberated from a pet store earlier this year. It was like the last one left, and he was like, "I'll give you a home." He bought it and like took it home, and this turtle is thriving. I don't even know what kind it is. It's got a fancy shell. But so we noticed that like they've all gone away, and then we noticed that the Donnies only have 3 feet now. So we think the smaller snapping turtle, not Mitch, but the other one that was a baby, is now becoming aggressive. So Jay has been putting out fishing line with pieces of hot dog every day to try to catch the smaller snapping turtle. If anybody out there listening has any experience with this, we would love your help and advice, because we would like to get rid of, you know, smaller Mitch McConnell the turtle, who is living up to his namesake, unlike bigger Mitch the turtle, who apparently is a teddy bear. And remember, Big Mitch was letting the other turtles ride on his back, and they were like swimming with the dolphins together. I have proof, though. I have video, and because we were so like, what is this? This isn't okay. But anyway, they've all gone except for the two Donnies, which we think just can't crawl away because they only have 3 legs.
Not with their tripods.
Yeah, but they, I mean, they're still doing well. Like they're thriving now. They don't seem to be further injured. But anyway, we're trying to get rid of the smaller snapping turtle. But I went for a walk the other day, and I'm pretty sure I saw Mikey in Big Lake Ann. Now, I understand that there's a gazillion turtles in the world, but I did spend 3 years staring at Mikey's shell, so I do know, we think it's a girl. We do know Mikey's general size and shell pattern and tail, because she had this little thick tail. So I like to believe that it was Mikey, and she has moved on to the bigger pond and is living a safer life in that refuge that is the big pond.
Nice.
Just ready for a new scene.
Yeah. We're hoping to get rid of the snapping turtles, though, so the others can come back. Because I miss Lisa and Mikey. They were my buddies.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that your turtles have been maimed.
I know. It's okay. It's nature. how was your week off, Amanda?
How was my week off? Well, this week is technically my week off of work, so this is like my real vacation week. So that's pretty exciting. Yesterday, Daniel and I tried to go to the beach. We were going to go to the Rockaways. Second attempt this summer to go to the Rockaways.
The first attempt is your birthday, right?
Right. We're like, all right. Well, it's a Monday. It's a weekday. We have to have better luck, you know. People aren't going to the beach on a Monday. People are, you know, working. So we like had a plan. We were going to like bike down to, there's a ferry that you can take to the Rockaways. And we're like, we'll do that. So we get to the ferry. We were like kind of running late. And we were like, oh, we're going to miss it. But we pull up and we see the boats arrive. We're like, great. We haven't missed it. Huzzah. And then like, there's like a line, so we're waiting in line, and then the boat like closes up and pulls away. Apparently the boat was full. So the next ferry is in an hour. So we're like, okay, well, we biked all the way down here. Like, let's just go sit for a minute and like come up with a game plan. And like some woman that was at the front of the line was like, just so you all know, like you can wait, but they only took 16 people from this line on the last ferry because it makes a couple stops before it comes to Brooklyn. So we're like, okay, we're like, wait another hour to like not guarantee getting on the ferry. We're like, and then Daniel's like, well, there's this really great greenway from here down to Brighton Beach. We could just do that and go to that beach. So that's what we ended up doing. It was awesome. It was like this really beautiful, the greenway sort of takes you all along the edge of Brooklyn, like looking at the harbor. You go like under the Verrazano Bridge. Yeah, it's like super, super pretty.
I think I've driven along that greenway, like on the. It does. Yeah, the one that goes along the belt.
It's like, It is along the belt.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Because I was in traffic one day and I was following the geocaches along it.
Yes. So that's you know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, so we ended up biking like 18 miles total.
That's amazing. Between that
and then biking home. So I'm like exhausted. I'm so tired. I realized halfway through our biking to Brighton Beach that I forgot to put sunscreen on the top of my legs.
No.
So we get home and my legs are very red. So I'm like slathered in. I'm like very greasy right now. I'm just like covered in hemp butter to try and like think I got like second degree burn on my hand. So we're a little bit of a hot mess, literally from the sunburn. But it was a nice day all the same. I think we were sort of joking that it's like Brighton Beach is like a perfectly nice beach, but it's like in the array of New York City beaches, it's always like the Rockaways are like the pretty special, lovely, and like Coney Island and Brighton Beach are like the quote unquote like kind of dirty beaches. And it's like they're really not. Like it's really nice, and you know, it's always there for us. So we shouldn't disparage her so, because she always has our back when we need a beach to go to. But other than that, TV. I finally started season 2 of Pose, and I am emotionally recovering. It is really, really good. As you know, as Matt has told us numerous times, I think the second season is a lot better than the first season. I think it is very pointed, and it's a lot more not political, but it brings up more about. Like the AIDS crisis and what they've started doing in this season that I really like is they end every episode with a quote from someone, like an actual person from the ballroom scene. So it's like I've really enjoyed going and like Googling who that person is and like learning about them.
They talk about that in the documentary Disclosure.
Nice. Yeah, I would hope they would, because it's really like, and what it's great about the second season is they've basically gotten rid of all the white characters, and like honestly, you don't miss them. Mm-hmm. Like nice. The story, so they were able to focus in on the more rich storylines and really get to the hearts of like what the show should be about. Mm-hmm. So I've been thoroughly enjoying that. And then we had a Patrick Swayze double feature on Sunday night. We watched Dirty Dancing because Daniel had never seen it. I still enjoy it. I think Dirty Dancing holds up.
It 100% holds up.
It totally holds up. And then we watched Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which doesn't exactly hold up, but I also kind of wasn't expecting it to.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that movie in like 15 years.
Yeah. I've never seen that, but definitely a Dirty Dancing will always be forever quotable and awesome. And speaking of which, I almost forgot, I went to Pismo Beach.
What's Pismo Beach?
I'm captain of the Pismo Beach Disaster Relief. Clueless.
Oh,
I feel like some things. It's like if you aren't from that area, you just.
Well, it. I mean, yeah. I just Clueless is one of those movies that I have. It's one of the few movies I would say that I've watched maybe as many times as I've watched Dirty Dancing.
It is a great movie.
So it's one of the few movies that I can actually quote. And nice. I can't see Pismo Beach without thinking, I don't know, Pismo Beach disaster. The captain of Pismo Beach disaster relief. You know, do you think they need your skis, honey? Daddy, some people lost everything. Anyway, it's one of those things that, like, it's actually a real place. And I went there. And and I saw zebras. What the hell? I totally forgot, like, half of my day.
What's that all about?
Man, the Hearst Castle. That's what that's all about. Decadence at its worst.
Yeah.
We should not have zebras here.
So are they just like free roaming zebras?
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like cattle. It's very much like, because like you're driving by and there's like a bunch of land in front of the Hearst Castle. The Hearst Castle is like way up. Like you can't really see it very clearly from the road, but there's just all this land in front, which is which is like where, you know, a lot of other places before you get there do have cows in that sort of like land area. Because there's like a fence and stuff, so it's not like they're just roaming completely free. It's like not a zoo, but not a, but not nature. It's just weird.
Right. Well, and do they put the zebras away at night? Like, I feel like I just have so many questions about this. Like, do they go into like a stable of some kind? Because I would just imagine at night people could steal the zebras.
Episode title, okay. Questions about zebras.
Questions.
I don't think so. I mean, I think I really they're just like out there, just like the cows. But
okay, alternate title, the zebras are out there.
Zebras are out there.
Much yeah, like the it. Truth.
I like that. That's good.
Oh, sorry. Dear. That was surprising.
If you would ask that question on Nextdoor, Amanda, they'd be like, go to Google. Nya, 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 nya. I hate Nextdoor.
That's why I'm not on Nextdoor. I can't.
It's the fucking worst. It is the worst.
I was on Nextdoor for, I think, like 24, maybe 48 hours. And then I was like, this is very creepy. I do not need to be on a social media platform with my neighbors.
We actually had a really fun... Okay, so Nextdoor, as you all know, is like a shit show in my area because it's all the MAGAs. It's like the worst. But there was this really fun thread a few weeks ago, and it was like, dear Kevin or dear Andrew or something. And it was, I have your food delivery. This is the second time they've delivered to my house. It's safe in the fridge. And it had like a picture of it. And they found the owner actually of the food, and he picked it up. But it was so funny because everyone was like, "I am Kevin." No, I am Kevin. No, I am Kevin. And it was just really funny, and I was like, "Okay, see, this is what Nextdoor should be." Not, you know, a whole bunch of people showing their ignorance about their, you know, not wanting to wear a mask and Biden hiding in a bunker because, you know, Nextdoor still, you know, the internet remains the worst. But, yeah, I don't know. It was really funny. And I saved that email for a long time to talk about on this show. And by a long time, I mean like, you know, 2 weeks. But I think
it's a long time.
I think I deleted it recently because I was like, man, I'm never going to talk about this. But here we are. Anyway, awkward silence.
Yeah. No, the furthest I go with that, there's like a neighborhood Facebook group.
Yeah.
That I'm a part of. And that's, yeah, that sort of fills that void for me. I'm like, I don't need another app.
I don't have the app. I just, you know, I get the daily emails. So I don't see a lot of the posts unless they show up on like the, you know, here's your summary. And it's like the first one. Speaking of, though, politics and whatever, Joe Biden picked his running mate today, as of recording. Senator Kamala Harris of California is going to be the vice presidential nominee, which is cool. It's historic because not only is she the third woman to you know, ever be the nominee as a vice president on a major ticket, but she's also the first Black woman and first Indian woman. So. A lot of history might be made on November 3rd if the Biden-Harris ticket wins. Ladies, any thoughts about it? It was very anticlimactic, but, you know, for 2020, that's okay.
It was, and perhaps it was some welcome news that it wasn't so surprising. I was listening to the NPR Politics podcast this afternoon, and one of the pundits said that they had been sort of talking to one of Senator Harris' like allies, and they were sort of saying that Kamala Harris was like the Joe Biden of the VP nominating process, that like she started out as kind of the early front runner and then kind of took a dip, and people kind of like thought maybe it wasn't gonna be her, and then in the end it just ended up being her. Right. So I thought that was interesting commentary, and it kind of put it in a nice perspective for me.
Yeah.
I think it's a really smart pick. One of the comparisons that I read about was maybe also on NPR, but it was about the similarities between this and the 2008 ticket, where you had an older white man with a lot of, you know, time in service running with a younger person of color who's, you know, fairly new to politics. Just that that
the same, it was the VP.
And,
right.
The same older white statesman, yes.
But the same, the same old seasoned white dude. It's not quite a comparison because it's the same person. But yes, I love that same symmetry.
Type of combination.
Guys,
I like that.
May Joe Biden be the talisman for another person of color to be elected on the ticket.
Seriously. Like,
yeah.
I think I say that as a joke, but my God. Gary, go ahead.
No, I think it's a really smart pick. I think, I think probably all of us here would have loved, you know, a really progressive pick, but I'm maybe smart enough to know that that wasn't going to be, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily going to be the way that this went down. And I think Kamala Harris is progressive enough. Just don't kill me, people, for saying that.
So here's the
I agree with you. I think you're spot on.
And so I think that she is tough as nails, and she has shown such good interrogation skills and debate skills. And, you know, she's just so sharp. And so I think that she will be a really formidable candidate for VP. I think she's, you know, a great person to run with.
I agree.
With Joe Biden.
I think she's articulate in a way that Joe Biden is not.
Yeah.
And I think she can whip up a room in a way that maybe Biden no longer can.
Yep.
So yeah, and I agree with that. For what it's worth, the website progressivepunch.org does list her, you know, in the top five. She's number four. I think a large part of the problem with the perception of Kamala is she like as far left as like, you know, somebody like Bernie or Warren or Karen Bass, Representative Bass. You know, she doesn't really have that reputation, but a lot of that is because she pivoted so hard to the center for the primaries to try to get, because everyone was competing, right? Like Mayor Pete, Kamala, like Cory Booker, Klobuchar, like they were all. And also, by the way, there was a great tweet by Mehdi Hassan who was like, no matter who Biden picks, let's all be thankful that it's not Amy Klobuchar.
Seriously, though.
And I was like, all right, perspective, man. I take your point. But, you know, I think that her full pivoting into that, like, you know, centrist lane let a lot of people down and kind of turned a lot of the people, the progressives, like the hardcore, like Bernie progressives, off towards her. But you have to also take into account, like, the moment that we're in. And whether or not she can pivot back to more progressive policies moving forward. And I really hope that she can. I'm fine with her as a nominee. I talked to my aunt today who back in June, you know, she was, you know, my aunt has never been a Biden fan for reasons that, you know, she had an uncle in politics who, you know, knew Biden personally. And he wasn't a dirtbag or anything, but you know, he always had gaffes. Like, also, my family is very Republican politics, and Biden was not, you know, regardless of whatever. So she was always like, ugh, I can't believe I have to vote for Biden. You know, I don't know. Like, I might vote for Trump. It depends on vice president. Like,
how are these two things?
She voted for Trump in 16. She's like teetering back and forth. Like she's at that point where you need to like hold her hand to push her over so she knows it's okay. But then
I guess I don't understand like how that point can be a place that exists in the world. And maybe that's my shortcoming.
The funny thing is she actually votes for.
Someone's walking.
It's like someone's tap dancing.
Wooden stairs, huh?
No, this is the danger of recording down here. That was Gabby just going to town on my couch. Cool. Well, that's real fun. Thank you. Thanks, girl.
If I was going to place money on one of your cats going to town on something, still Gabby.
Like, I'm going to give this couch. I'm going to give it to this couch like I gave it to that bird.
Yeah, did someone say zebra?
She literally had blood on her nose.
Yep. She's like, come here.
No, yep. She's sharpening. She's like, did someone say zebra? Let's go for this. I'm ready.
Challenge accepted. I'm ready. She has her own little like training montage. She's like, whatever the cat version of like Eye of the Tiger. Actually, I guess it would be Eye of the Tiger. That makes good sense. Let's go with that.
That one checks out.
Checks.
Anyways, I talked to my aunt today and I was like, I called her right after the announcement. I was like, all right. 1 to 10, how much talking off the ledge do you need? What do I have to do to prepare you, like, to that you're still going to vote for Biden and you know it. You're just having a tantrum right now. And she was like, she started laughing. She goes, nope. Out of all of them, I decided Kamala was my favorite and the best choice, and I am 100% on board. And I was like, you'll work on grandma? And she was like, literally like that. She was like, your grandmother loves you more than she loves me. I was like, so anyway, you know, I think that we all, again, you know, wanted somebody more progressive to be the vice president on the ticket, or was pushing more progressive policies in this like period of time. But we're also like, we're in a battle for like the actual future of America. I really think so. Like, I yeah. think that this is,
yeah.
we're at a point of no return, and that really sucks because that's just very frustrating for people who want to move the country forward. It would be great if we had this president who's going to probably be a bridge into the next generation. And I have faith that perhaps Kamala will be able to do that. But let me real quick read the announcement because I meant to do this when we started the conversation. So he tweeted, I have the great honor to announce that I've picked also, I guess he's not, you know, 78-year-old man announces his running mate on Twitter. That's like a thing for 2020.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that it was announced via Twitter and text.
I know. But hey, well, the text thing.
Like, okay, boomer. Like,
the text thing. The text thing is actually goes back to the Obama days where they announced it. They told this story on Pod Save America where they really wanted to get like phone numbers to start like announcements over like that kind of data collection. And they didn't get like a whole big response or something, but like, they announced the VP over text message first, and that was like, sign up so you can get firsthand knowledge before we announce it anywhere else. So they actually predicted that he would follow the same like kind of game plan and do it that way.
Oh, when you think about it that way, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. But anyway, so the tweet was, I have the great honor to announce that I've picked Kamala Harris, a fearless fighter for the little guy and one of the country's finest public service, as my running mate. Back when Kamala was attorney general, she worked closely with Beau, his son. I watched as they took on the big banks, lifted up working people, and protected women and kids from abuse. I was proud then, and I'm proud now to have her as my partner in this campaign. And then she responded with, Joe Biden can unify the American people because he spent his life fighting for us. And as president, he'll build an America that lives up to our ideals. I'm honored to join him as our party's nominee for vice president and do what it takes to make him our commander in chief.
Yay.
Nice.
Think of all the like cooking with Kamala Instagrams where we have in store. Those are always fun.
here I was just thinking how excited I was that Maya Rudolph will be on SNL.
I was just listening.
I think I might be more excited about cooking with Kamala, though.
I do have to say, I love Maya
Rudolph. You love a good cooking show.
Oh, so weird. Like, listening to that, I'm like, what is weird here? What is off? And it's the fact that, like, those are coherent sentences. The one following the next one, like in order. It's like a series, actually, of coherent sentences.
But we're
so not used to hearing that kind of discourse anymore.
I know.
It's weird. There wasn't even anything capitalized that wasn't supposed to be capitalized. Imagine that.
I mean, how are we going to know the important things, though? How are we going to know the important words if they're not all in caps?
I don't know. I need to be told. I need to be told by my leaders what words are important.
So I think at some point Trump had tweeted, if Biden wins, we're all going to be speaking Chinese in the future. And somebody on Twitter was like, look, you can't even speak English, so I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Dude, if we are all speaking Chinese, maybe it will mean that they've actually funded public schools and people are learning foreign languages now. But apparently, like, he will also hurt God.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure, how that was
gonna... That's no God. He has no... Yep.
Look, if God is afraid of what a mere mortal like Joe Biden can do, then that's not the same God that I grew up learning about. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, Joe Biden is pretty powerful and very omnipotent if God is scared of him.
But Joe Biden's going to take away all your fun. He's going to take away your church. He's going to take away your guns. He's going to take away your meat. Just all your of it. Meat. Gone.
Look, if you're on the fence out there about, you know, who to vote for because you're either conservative leaning and you're worried about policy, or you're progressive leaning and you're worried about policy, I just want to say, I hear you. I understand you. I think that while there's a very good Lincoln Project ad for Biden-Harris that they actually put out like within an hour of the announcement that, you know, points out that Joe Biden is the right candidate for the moment. And I think that that could go either way. Like, yes, he's the right candidate for the moment because we need to beat Donald Trump. He is not a good president. He wasn't a good man when he was a New York businessman. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't a good businessman when he was a New York businessman. He has always been... He's always been, you know, a tabloid scum fixture. Like, if you say the media hates him and that's what it is, like, to be fair, he's always been this. Like, nobody's pointing, like, this just checks out. He wasn't like some golden, like, hero who was saving the children philanthropist back in New York. He was a piece of shit then. He's a piece of shit now. He was a bad businessman then. He's bad at running the country. Like, all of this checks out. But if you're still like can overlook that and you're like, but abortion, but this, but that, like, I just want to remind you that there's a lot bigger stakes at hand right now. And I think every sign has indicated that Joe Biden is probably a one-term president and we're going to be going through all this again in 4 years, which is on the one hand scary. On the other hand, like, makes the vice president pick all the more important. So I understand, like, the progressives who, you know, are hesitant, like, the vice president needs to be somebody that can meet the moment. I think that Kamala Harris can meet the moment. Like, she's gonna scare the shit out of Mike Pence or Nikki Haley or whoever he, like, tries to, like, one up and, like, replace her with. Like, she's smart. She doesn't complain about her popcorn not being delivered in time on Twitter. Like, the Nikki Haley thing. No, you guys don't know about that. Oh, she complained about how...
What are these days anymore?
So she complained about how she ordered like popcorn from like one of those online gourmet popcorn companies. And it was for her nephew as a birthday gift and it was late. And everyone's like, yes, blame Trump for the U.S. Postal Service. Like, what do you think happens when you don't fund them enough? Like, right. This stupid bitch. Also, 170,000 Americans or whatever it is now. I can't even keep track. A gazillion people are dead and there's bigger things at hand than your popcorn that was late, but fuck you, bitch. Anyway, neither here nor there. Kamala's going to be great at whoever she has to go up against on the debate stage if they have a debate. And I think that she can meet the moment. And, you know, as they say in Harry Potter, what's coming will come and we'll meet it when it does. And I think, you know, unfortunately, it sucks, and for the progressives, and it's who realize that we can't keep 4 years from now, we can't be in the same place with the same people and the same policies, you know, and the same centrist whatever. Like, otherwise, we're not going to survive. And, you know, I understand that, and I have faith, I have confidence that the people that had those policies that stepped down after meeting with Biden, I have to believe that there'll be some good people in charge. So what I was getting at with this very long soliloquy, monologue, if you will, TED talk, call talk, with my very long call talk, was that if you're on the fence, just remember every single person around Donald Trump is also a grifter, a terrible person who does not give a shit about you or anybody around you, anybody that is not a millionaire, a billionaire or less. Like, they're not competent. They don't understand how the law works. They don't understand how government works, how policy works, how anything works. So just remember that Joe Biden is going to surround himself with competent people who understand how government works, who understand what the people need, who understand the law, who aren't going to defund things that we need that are not partisan, things like the post office, things like Medicare and Medicaid that should not be partisan. It's about helping people. It's about a broader thing. And we always include like Medicare, Medicaid, the post office and these like public programs that we're funding that we're mad that they don't work right. But what about like police departments and fire departments and libraries and schools? Those are all covered in the same amount, the same taxes that you pay. So for every Betsy DeVos that isn't paying her fucking taxes because Donald Trump doesn't think that she should, that's another library program that some child that lives in your county library, that's some program that they don't get. That's some program that that's something that a teacher who is working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week, that's a stapler or glue sticks or paper or something else that they don't get. So just remember that, like, there's a ripple effect and the people that you vote for matter up and down the ballot. And we might not love the fact that we don't have progressive people at the very top of the ballot, but hopefully that will trickle down for all the down ballot candidates. And there will still be competent people that aren't going to run the national debt into even worse than it already is for the sake of the people that have the money that don't need the help. And that's the end of my call talk.
I would also add the environment. We're literally burning our house down.
Yep.
We can't do four more years with a government that refuses to even acknowledge the existence of climate change. We just don't have that kind of time.
We have 9 or 10 years left. Like, the clock is fucking ticking.
Also, so if you
don't like other people, that's fine. I don't like a lot of people either. That's great. But the people around me and future generations, I would like them to have a planet to live on.
Right. And I understand that there's a conservative thing going around that, like, the study was cooked and the books, you know, it was all like the data was falsified. Yeah, there's global warming, not climate change, global warming.
But the conservatives are still pushing this
Yes,
shit?
They don't believe that it's man-made. They think that it's natural. So my one question to you is, even if it's natural, if there is a way that science says we can slow it down, why not? Why not?
I literally cannot believe, but then, of course, it's the fucking world that we live in right now. But this should not be a question. If you are on the fence about climate change, if you're not fully on board with what the science says, that it is
man-made
because it's mostly men, you know, doing the policies and whatever. Yes, we're all contributing, blah, blah, blah.
My dad is an environmentalist, and he has told me that it is overblown. There's no proof that it's man-made, and it always happens in the nature of the planet. And the study that said that it was just like the vaccine autism thing. It was overblown. That is,
so it's not like
that
there
is
was
what
one
I have
studied.
That right, is what, so like, here's the study. We solved it.
That is what I have been told by somebody who actually does care about the planet. Like, they think that
is very surprising. I have a really hard time understanding that people can still think like that. But like you said, if, like, whether or not you started the fire, if there's a way to put it out, why wouldn't you? And I just think that it's so convenient. And that's the thing, is, like, I do feel like conservatives have pivoted from just denying it outright, denying that it's happening, to saying like, okay, and this is very much Trump's playbook too. Mm-hmm. First you deny that it happened, that it's happening at all. And then you pivot to like, oh yeah, it's happening, but it's not our fault. And that's the thing, is if it's not our fault, then it's not up to us to fix it. So it's not up to us to actually make any change. It's such a cop out.
It really is. It's not good leadership.
No.
Like, that shouldn't be
what
we look for from our leaders.
Like, but it's another example of things having to become.
Who made the problem? Like, you're in a position of leadership. Yeah. It is now your responsibility to help us figure out how to fix it.
That's because politicians.
That's the job you signed up for.
But politicians on both sides of the aisle, on both sides, take money from groups that don't give two shits.
They are.
And that's a big problem.
And paid for. And that is not okay. And no, I agree. It is 100% both sides. Like, the left has not. I mean, the right used to care about the environment also. So
they did, like, until John McCain. Part of his platform was climate change. Like, we all
like that's
that.
Crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. and then they decided to start denying it. But the Democrats definitely have blood on their hands as well. Like, they have not done, nobody's done enough. And it's because there's too much fucking money in politics. They are bought and paid for. And that's like, you know,
it's
heartbreaking and it's frustrating. And like, if you're one of the people that are in, you know, the golden years of their life, then maybe you don't have to worry about it so much. But for the rest of us who will still be alive, and the future generations, it's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable to pass it on to people. And it's not acceptable to not care about people. That's just it. And that's what it comes down to for me, is like, this issue and every issue is you have to care about other people. And that is fundamentally something that the Republican Party has lost. They do not care about other people. And I know that there are Republicans who care about other people. Yes, I'm making a broad statement. But as a party, they don't give a fuck. There's no empathy in that party. It's soulless.
Well, the platform is void of empathy, and it's just not a way to.
Well, they're also to lead. I was listening to the Daily Beast's The New of Normal today, and they had a guest on, and I cannot remember his name, but he started one of those famous parody magazines. You guys would know exactly what I'm talking about. Not Mad Magazine, but like something else. And he was talking about, because he has a new book out, the moment that he realized like capitalism was being manipulated by the wealthier business people, and how up until some point people on both sides were all for regulation and antitrust laws and whatnot. Like, they were like, it's, and then starting in like the late 70s, like with the Nixon Reagan stuff, like that all kind of just, you know, at some point people figured out how to cheat the system, and he just kind of took off from there, where now it's not so much like capitalism, like, yay, capitalism. It's like, profits are the only thing that matter. Does not matter safety, health, workers. Nothing else matters but making a profit. And it's a good interview, like, just, you know, explaining it. And then Rick Wilson, who is the co-host, who is a former prominent Florida Republican strategist, he was like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's profit over everything else. And that is pretty much like where we started to like have our downfall, because we don't see our workers as human beings.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's profit and power.
Yeah. And I would argue that that's like the logical endpoint of capitalism anyway. Like, I think that's the way that the system is designed ultimately to go. So you're exploitation of like extracting things from people, from the earth, from, you're just taking, and it's not a sustainable system. And so, I think definitely I agree that it's gotten worse, but I think that it's almost, if in that sort of system, it's almost inevitable at some point.
Yeah.
Which is why it's not a great system. But we are so indoctrinated. That's what's so interesting.
It could be a good system.
We are so indoctrinated from birth that we, like, people in the U.S. can't even bring themselves to sort of question the system at all. It feels un-American to say, like, maybe capitalism isn't a good idea.
But right. like, why?
I think
why
that would they, it? I think that it has elements where it could be a good system, but it needs regulation. And when it's unchecked and there's no regulation, and you have people that are going to go, you know, if we're trading power all the time, where you know there's going to be no regulation, like then it doesn't work anymore. Like it had its years or whatever, like.
Sure, but like, you know what I mean about like how we're all sort of taught like not even to question it. And so I don't know, it's pretty wild, like just the way that system is kept in place, because we're all sort of brainwashed into believing that it's the best system and it's the only system that's valid. And maybe like we can debate to what extent it is or it isn't, but what's interesting is that most people won't even go there to even question it, because we've been so indoctrinated. It's just weird to think, like, we think we're such free thinkers, but if people won't even call some of those things into question, just to interrogate the idea.
Well, it's also like, what are the other options? It's like, speaking of being indoctrinated, it's like anytime you learn of any other system, financial or economic system, it's always in the negative.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's so many good things about socialism, but we have such a bias in the U.S. And that's not, you know, like socialist systems can be criticized too, but like when it's criticized in U.S. discourse, it's not coming from a place of critical reflection. It's coming from a place of dogma.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was talking to someone today about defunding the police, and you know they were like, you know, a lot of people just hate the police and are just a lot of people either just hate the police or they are against defunding. And I had to explain to this person, like, so my experience is with, I have police in my family, and my experience with police is generally good, but there's other people whose experiences are generally bad. So clearly, you know, there is a middle somewhere. Whether it leans more towards my experience or their experience is something that we could argue till the cows come home. But instead of looking at it that way, we could say, okay, something is not working. We can either like say, oh, this is too hard to figure out. It's never going to work. It's dogmatic. It's pragmatic. It's this. It's that. It's blah, 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 blah. Like, we can either say it's never going to work and not try it because we don't want to actually fix something, or we could be more optimistic and pragmatic about it and say, all right, this isn't working. It's not fair to police officers, especially the good ones, that they should have to deal with things like mental health issues when they are there to protect and serve. So why don't we put some extra money, take it from the police department, and maybe we give some of that money to social services? And like, I explained it and they were like, yeah, I get that. And that's a great idea, but it's just never going to work in this country. And I was like, well, don't you think that? And I was like, don't you think
that we're treating medical, like mental illness?
And I said, don't you think that we're a great country? Don't you think that we're the smartest country? Don't you think that we're the richest country? Why is it that we can't figure out a problem as it comes to us? If you have a problem at your work, why couldn't that work with, and well, you just don't understand. Like, and I was like, why don't I understand? Why can't we figure it out? We're supposed to be like a great society. Why can't we? You don't want to actually fix something.
Yeah. And I think you're really getting to the real, like, real curious sort of juxtaposition there is that we fancy ourselves the best, and we fancy ourselves, you know, the superlative of every category. Like, you know, like you said, richest.
So if something's not working, why don't we just fix it?
Most entrepreneurial. So, yeah. So how is it? Yeah. If that is all true, then shouldn't we be able to tackle these problems? And like, do the people that are the naysayers, do they really have no faith in us as a country that we could actually figure stuff like that out? Because how can you have no faith in us, in our potential and possibility, but then simultaneously say we're the best? Like, that those two things are contradictory. It doesn't make sense.
And same with healthcare.
From my summation, it's like, that seems pretty goddamn American of like inventing your own way forward. Like, isn't that what our country was founded on?
Yeah. So
shouldn't that be the path?
I agree.
You would think.
So putting a pin right there, because we need to move on. we can continue this discussion in our broad topics, which we are going to, the Zoom link is the same one as last time, but I will send it out on all the channels except for Twitter. we're going to be Monday, August 17th at 9:15-ish p.m. Eastern time. Stay tuned for any announcements if the time changes, but it should be about that time. We would love to finish talking about all this, mail-in ballots, Kamala as the pick. Like, we would love to hear what everybody else has to say. We were going to actually, I had a great Reddit thread, and it was from Twitter. It was Twitter users are pondering, like, what woke them politically, what radicalized them. It was from a question from @historyofarmani. It's always interesting because we've talked about this. We talked about this on our Real Weird Sisters episode, right? Like, mm-hmm. what kind of, like, made you what you are now? Just to give a taste of this, somebody said, when I was in the military, I noticed every country I went to hated us, really hated us. It made me want to find out why. Everything traced back to white supremacy and capitalistic greed. I want no part of that. Another one was working in a hospital. Beforehand, I was pretty conservative, raised evangelical. Once I saw how our healthcare system treated those with no money, I was mortified. Everything dominoed from there until I found myself angry at the injustices so pervasive in the United States. Somebody else said, when I was 7, my family was in a car accident in a pretty nice neighborhood. My mom had 4 kids and a toddler alone with her, bleeding on the side of the road. The only person that helped us was a homeless man who spent his last $2 buying us paper towels. Finally, and I'm going to read more from this on Monday on Broad Topics, because I think this is also really kind of like a good icebreaker, I guess. And it was my 7-year-old self seeing President Reagan on the news calling people like my mom a welfare queen and families like ours lazy leeches. And this goes on and on and on. It was a really, really informative thread. It was one of those threads that makes you walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And I think I've talked about, like, the thing on the Real Weird Sisters episode, like, the thing for me that started me, but honestly, the Trump election, like, really, like, turned me, was when we went to war after 9/11. And I just had this thought. I was like, but so many people are going to die. And my Christian heart doesn't understand why people have to die for this. More people have to die when so many have died already. But anyway, we can talk about this.
That was my first march.
Oh, I don't even think I was aware of marches back then. I mean, I was aware of, like, the anti-abortion mothers marches or whatever, but I don't think I was aware of other marches.
It was our senior year, of course, and in my U.S. government class, we got, like, I don't know if it was extra credit or if it was just, maybe it was actually a requirement to do some sort of, like, participate in some sort of political action. So it could be whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
But that was mine.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Really great. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back for the feedback and portion of the show. But hope you'll join us to continue this discussion on August 17th over Zoom. All right. We are back and we are going to get into some feedback. The first one is from Jessica. I hope you discussed the breaking news of Joe Biden's running mate. Awesome news. We did.
Sure did.
talking about our discussion from episode 5.5 on musical instruments that are okay to take into the wilderness. Gott says, a cello is never appropriate when camping unless you happen to be Yo-Yo Ma. And Dennis follows up with, our oldest son believes a cellist will always find a way. It's a picture of different people carrying cellos on bicycles and then playing around a campfire. John, the UPS guy, says, I had a joke section was funny, and I would have sent mine in if I had only known you were going to do that segment. Well, mine would have been, I have a joke about my inability to finish anything I start, but... It's a Mattsplaining. Please be aware that I didn't know any of this until looking it up, but Bon Iver. It's Bone.
That's my... Oh, I thought it was Bon Iver. That was always my understanding of the pronunciation.
Nope, because as Matt's about to Mattsplain to us, Bon Iver is the name of the band, which I did know that. Justin Vernon is the founder who worked on the new Taylor Swift album. Bon is also pronounced Bone.
And I will interject for some Shandy-splaining. I can't remember why they did this or what the reason is behind it, but it's, I mean, really, if you want to get technical, it should be Bon Iver, because it's like a take on the French, like good winter, or which could also be have a good winter. I don't know which way they meant it. There would be an H before the Iver, because the H is not pronounced in French. So they left it off. I don't know if it's a nod just to French pronunciation or if they just liked it better. But so it's one of those things that I never know how to pronounce, because if you say Bon Iver, then you sound like a pretentious jackass. But technically it's not Bone. Although then in American, maybe it is Bone. I don't know. It's rough.
When Bon Iver also sound more like boner, and that was just
boner. Yeah,
I went there. I always go there, and I did.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
But really, it should be more of a Bon Iver situation going on. But I don't know how well they meant for it to be pronounced. I don't know why they left the H off either.
Yeah. Also, where's Matt getting his pronunciation from?
Yeah.
I can see the sort of like Americanized version of saying that in French would kind of come off as bone, but it's not bone. It's more like Bon Iver.
Bon. So B-U-N-E more.
Bon. It's really bon.
Bon.
But when you follow it with a vowel, then it, you know, make the liaison Bon Iver. Anyway, yeah. And then it sounds like the feminine but it's really bon.
Okay.
Just because of the vowel.
Yes. Because why not?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I don't know why they're named after winter, but maybe their music does sound kind of wintry.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much still that, like, you know, curl up in front of the fireplace, hot cocoa, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. Yeah. At least the first few albums felt very much like that, very like wood fire and cabin in the woods kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. Jamie Joe says, Europe honors the vagina and womb in ways the U.S. just can't seem to get comfortable with. Seriously, an amazing ad. If you haven't seen it, do so now. You might get a teensy bit emotional. And then she links us to an advertisement.
Should we all watch it?
I watched it earlier today. And? She is correct. I got kind of emotional watching it.
Should we take a second?
Yeah, we'll take a second. I'm going to stop recording, though. All right, Jamie. So we have just watched this, and I will put this advertisement in the show notes. Thoughts, ladies?
It's pretty powerful.
Very powerful. Yes. Thank you for sharing.
I also laughed out loud when she coughed and the blood gates opened.
Happens to the best of us.
It's true.
And then finally, we have one other thing from Matt before we get into the match. She said, and he says, while it has male creators, I recommend Harley Quinn on HBO Max. It's about the DC comic character breaking up with Joker to go out on her own with some help from her new friend Poison Ivy and a crew of her own. It's a fun feminist spin on the Batman world and easily bingeable with episodes barely over 20 minutes. While it is animated, it's definitely not for kids. Have Zach watch Avatar The Last Airbender or She-Ra instead. Oh, we actually started She-Ra with Zach.
Nice.
Yeah. And Avatar The Last Airbender, the cartoon, is great. I will give you that. Yeah, thank you. And then I guess we'll get into some Mass What She Says.
I'm sure they get better with time.
It's a good album to put on when you're trying to get pumped up?
I think we're up to 8 or 9 now.
It's more robust than I originally gave it credit for.
It's really hot, so we couldn't do anything too intense.
I feel you, fam. At 10 o'clock, he finished completely.
Oh my God, how long is this going to go on?
They give a chance for everyone to get something.
Some people do it every week.
Kate, I feel you, girl.
You'll get it taken care of.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate that. And then I guess we've got an email this week from Andy. And this is This Week in Andy's Social Distancing.
Okay, so Andy writes in, "Hey, broads. Nothing to report this week as expected, but I would be remiss if I didn't share with you this bit of information if you haven't heard of it yet. It is called summer penis. I didn't have time to look up all the medical terms, but basically it says that in warmer settings like summer, blood vessels expand, and as a result, the penis gets bigger." That cool. does seem to check out.
It is now, still a body part. Now, this is a
little misleading.
Guess what? My rings don't fit me in the summertime either. So
yeah, exactly. Sausage fingers. Mm-hmm. Sausage fingers, sausage penis.
It all tracks.
Now, this claim is a little misleading, especially since it seems like this has originated from a men's magazine owned by a razor company, since this apparent growth really can't be seen much by the naked eye. My sausage fingers can.
Yeah. Oh. But I'm chat.
I can't say I've noticed much, but I don't focus too much on my size. I'm sure it's perfectly fine. Well, it's not like I'm going to be able to use mine for anything other than the usual, so wear your damn masks, people, so I may be able to use a different kind of protection at some point in the future. Hashtag I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
I think we gave some feedback as we went along.
Feedback in real time.
Hashtag sausage fingers.
Yes. Good times. Well, thank you, Andy, for that thrilling bit of information. If anybody out there has anything to add to this, go for it. The broadcaster is 3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Hit us up. Any feedback at all. Let us know what you're thinking. Join us for the broad topics on Monday, August 17th at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. We are looking forward to chatting with everybody. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to set the timer for an hour. So we've got a lot to talk about in a little bit of time, but I have faith in us that we can do it. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates, you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. That helps us out. If you'd like to become a patron, thank you to the patrons. We really appreciate your support each month, especially in times like these where we know that it's not always easy for everyone financially because, you know, Donald Trump is the worst. But we appreciate you. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack, or you can go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link. We try to do some fun things for our patrons. There's an exclusive Facebook group for patrons that are contribute at the $5 or more level, and we have bonus content. We actually have a live show for the patrons once a month. They can watch us record, which I'll actually be next Tuesday, August 18th. So if you'd like to join us and you are the patrons at the Hangout level, mark it off on your calendar, August 18th. And then the following week we'll have our bonus content, and that will be out the week following the 25th. We'll record it. So stay on the lookout for that. But again, we appreciate your support. A special thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. On that note, anything, ladies, any final thoughts on what's going on in the world? Because it's been a week. There's been a lot.
Dude, it's been a week. We didn't even talk about Beirut, but
Right. Oh my God, the Beirut video. I was not expecting the explosion. And then when it happened in the video, I literally jumped like 3 feet. I was like, oh my God. We had an earthquake in Raleigh this past weekend, which is not anything near the level of the Beirut thing, which was beyond awful. Yeah, we had an earthquake on Saturday or Sunday morning.
You guys had an earthquake, and my brothers on the East Coast, they had a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
Jeez. Climate change.
Exactly.
One says climate change. The evangelicals might say the beginning of the rapture. I don't know. Either way, some shit's going down.
Not great. Not great for anyone. But to bring you back to the point, obviously our hearts and minds are with the people of Beirut.
Yeah.
Donate to relief efforts if you can.
Just so terrible. 2020, man.
Yeah.
Let's end this.
Let's end it.
In the way that we can. In the positive way. Vote them out. All right. On that note, everybody, hope to see you on Monday the 17th. Thank you for listening. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Stay safe. Bye. Stay well. Stay sane.
Yes.